By the way, I'm Stan. Just told you who everybody else is. If you don't know me, I'm Stan. I'm the lead pastor here. And I'm excited today. Psalm chapter 96 says, sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. I love that passage because you know what it tells me? It tells me that hope can be multiplied, right? Did you hear that? Publish the good things he does to all the nations. Let it sound out around the world. Let's multiply hope together. And if you're saying, what is this multiply hope about? You haven't been here the last couple of weeks, right? All right, because that's what we've been talking about. We're in the middle of a series called Hope Multiplied. And we have learned a lot in this series. We're talking about God's vision for WBC of advancing his kingdom. And so far, we've learned that we live in a world where people are desperate for hope. If you look around, it doesn't take long to see people who are hopeless, to hear hopeless comments coming out of people's mouths and everything. And when they look at life, they struggle. People are hopeless. And many times, people end up discouraged and disillusioned because they put their hope in things that are uncertain, right? You remember that? And we have a hope that is beyond this life. We have an eternal hope, a confident hope, and that hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, the object of our hope is the resurrection of Jesus. We've learned that over the last couple of weeks. So that makes us special. That gives us something that the world that doesn't know Jesus doesn't have. That gives us hope. And once we have that hope for ourselves, we have a command, we have a commission, a mandate, a calling, if you will, to multiply that hope. Jesus called it making disciples. He told the disciples to make disciples. Go and make disciples. So what Jesus is saying is to his disciples was, you need to go and make disciples that will 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 put these people in this room 2,000 years later, right? That's what happened. And that's why you should be thankful that someone took that command, that commission, that mandate very seriously, because they made disciples who made disciples who eventually landed you here or you there watching on this in 2050. Who knows? We've learned a lot. Jesus calls his disciples there. We had a quick look last week at the early church because we started talking about, okay, how will we multiply hope? How are we going to see this vision of hope multiplied achieved? And we looked at the early church and the things that they did because they were very effective. They started with 12 and then they started adding to the church thousands of people every day. Everybody that was getting saved and added to the church. And it was because of the experiences that people were having. When they came and they learned about Jesus, they experienced what other people were saying and how Jesus had impacted their lives. And they responded in faith and trusted Christ. And what we determined was that we want the experience to be different than people's expectations. Okay? When people walk in this, a lot of times that's a bad thing. You know, because we have expectations and our experience is usually less. We leave a gap and then we're disappointed and all that. Well, we want people to be surprised. We want their expectations to be one thing about church and about Jesus and about you and about me as Christians. But we want their experience of us to exceed their expectations, to shock them, that they'll find out it's not really what I thought. Christians aren't freaks. The building didn't fall down when I came in. Those people weren't judgmental. Those people were loving. We want the experience to be different than the expectation. And if you're having trouble keeping up with me because I'm talking too fast right now, this is all on YouTube. All right, from last week and the week before. You can go back and listen to that, and you can replay this one slowly if you want to. But anyway, don't do that. Go back and listen to the message from last week. That's all just a recap. We learned also that experience leads to engagement, and engaged people are people who have accepted Christ as their Savior. They're doing life together in groups. They're serving, and they're giving generously. And I left you hanging last week. I said, there's one more thing that marks an engaged person. And that's where we're going to spend the most of our time today, unpacking that one. From where we left off, you remember last week, I mentioned to you an interaction that Jesus had with a woman in John chapter 4. He met this woman at the well. He met her where she was in her life stage. She was a sinner, and she was actually a seeker. She started asking Jesus lots of questions about faith and about the Messiah. She didn't realize she was talking to the Messiah. Jesus did not judge her for where she was. He actually asked her for water, which he was a Jew, she was a Samaritan, that was out of bounds. She was surprised. So her expectation or her experience were different. And then he offered her something. He offered her hope. He offered her truth. He offered her love. She had an experience with Jesus that changed her life. Look what she did next. That's all recap from last week. Look what she did next. It says in John chapter 4, verse 28, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Wow, did you see that? This woman, she has this interaction with Jesus. She has an experience with Jesus. And her immediate response was to go and tell other people about it. She left her water jar there because she got so excited, she didn't care. She said, I just had this experience. I have to go share it with somebody else. And she told everyone she saw, and what was the result? People were streaming from the village to come experience Jesus. She shared her experience, and other people followed because of the experience that she decided to share. What we learn here, guys, is that engaged people invite people, okay? Along with all the other things we talked about last week, engaged people invite people. It's that simple. That's the crux of the message today. So if you've already got that down in your life and you're inviting people and bringing people all the time to Jesus and to church, you can check out for the next 15 minutes or so, okay? But don't, because I need your encouragement. I need you to cheer me on like Maddie does over there, all right? So stay with me, engage people, invite people, because see, human nature is that we want people to experience the same things that we experience. We want people to like the same things we like. If you doubt that, do you have social media? Do you see what you post and other people post on social media? We dress it up, and usually what we see on social media isn't people's real life, it's the life they wish they had and that they want you to believe that they have. But we want people to share in those experiences. We take pictures of our food. Actually, I don't do this, and I don't know why people do it. They take pictures of their food and put it on Facebook. It's like, okay, great, you got food. But anyway, sorry, I got distracted. There goes a squirrel. Yeah. We want people to engage with the experiences that we're having. We want them to like it. We want to see how many likes. Do people like this or not? I liked it. Do they like it as well? We go to a restaurant and we have a good experience. We tell people about it. Hey, went to this restaurant. It was great. Service was great. Food was great. And vice versa. If it's bad, we say, don't go there, right? We draw people in to our experiences. If we go to somewhere and have a holiday and it was a nice holiday and a beautiful place, we tell people about that so we can make them jealous of our holidays, right? Or maybe so they can go as well and experience the same things. We let people know what diet plan we're on so that they can engage in that as well. Who told you about keto? Right? Somebody invited you into that space. Somebody needs to invite me into that space. What about multi-level marketing? That's what that whole system of things is built on, Amway and the other ones. And if you're into that stuff, that's fine. Just don't bring it to me and don't bring it inside the church, please. Yeah. Public service announcement, stay away. Anyway, we want people to experience what we value and what we like and what we have experienced. So friends, all the more, if we have a hope that is beyond this life, if we have a hope that is eternal, should we not be trying to share that experience with other people and draw people into that experience, invite people into that experience? Should we? Okay. Okay, yes, we should. But I can tell by the vibe I'm getting, we don't. Right? Right? Yeah, we should. Yeah. If we have had an experience with Jesus, that should just fire us up and get us impassioned about sharing him. And usually, when we first come to faith, that actually happens. And then after we start growing in our faith, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, and we start getting more mature and we rub up against other Christians that tell us, ooh, chill out a little bit, then we stop doing that. Because you know why they're telling us to chill out a bit? It's because now they're being convicted because they remember when they used to do that and then they're not doing it anymore. John chapter 1. John was one of Jesus' friends. He wrote one of the Gospels and he told us some of the accounts of Jesus' life. And he told us about a guy called John the Baptist. John the Baptist's main purpose in life was to point people to Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 35, it says this: the following day, John, that's John the Baptist, was again standing with two of his disciples. He had disciples of his own, and he was standing with a couple of them. And it says, as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. You see what happened there? John the Baptist has his own disciples. He's got people following him. He's got people that like him and think he's a great guy and want to be like him, kind of thing. They're following him. And he said, follow Jesus instead. And they did. He was willing to risk losing his own followers to point them to Jesus, because that was more important, because John was a follower of Jesus as well. And he said, hey, he's the guy you should be following. I'll still be your friend. Let's still hang out together, but let's follow Jesus. And that was a risk though, because they could have said, no, we liked you, but you're telling us to follow Jesus. Or maybe they would be attracted more to Jesus and kick John to the side. He's risking relationships, all kinds of things there. Look at verse 40. It says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. All right, so Andrew is one of the disciples that's there with John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, hey, there's Jesus, follow him. Andrew said, cool, I'm following Jesus. As soon as he started following Jesus, his experience with Jesus caused him to immediately go and tell his brother. He went back to tell his family about Jesus because he wanted them to experience the same thing that he experienced. You might have heard of Peter, yes? Simon Peter, that's the Peter that wrote two of the books of the Bible in the New Testament. That's the Peter who we talked about last week, who we talked about his experience with Jesus about the resurrection, and he tells us all about that in his letters. Well, Peter became a Jesus follower because of what? Because of Andrew. Peter ended up leading the early church. When the church was first established in Acts chapter 2, Peter was the leader. He was in charge. Jesus is back in heaven. Peter's in charge here on earth, starting that first church. But how did Peter find Jesus? His brother Andrew invited him. You never know what's going to happen to or through a person that you might invite to come to Jesus or come to church so that they can find Jesus. You probably don't know the name Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham was an evangelist back in the 1930s. And in 1934, I believe it was, he was preaching a series of revival messages in a town called Charlotte, North Carolina. And there was a teenager that came to one of those meetings. He was invited by friends. They were actually inviting him because they wanted to start trouble and cause a commotion that night. But this teenager listened to Mordecai Ham, and at the end of the night, Mordecai Ham looked at him and said, young man, you are a sinner. Because of that, Billy Graham trusted Christ as his Savior. Now, you know that name, right? You didn't know the other name, Mordecai Ham, and you didn't know the name. We don't know the name of the teenagers that invited Billy to come along. But Billy Graham, through his ministry, it's estimated he has spoken or preached the gospel to 215 million people live and in person. It goes up to 2.2 billion people when we consider radio, television, the internet, and how the message has kept going and getting out there. Where did Billy Graham get his start? Someone invited him along. Someone challenged him with the gospel. You never know what's going to happen when you invite someone. Back to John 1. Remember, there was two disciples. We looked at Andrew. Now, another guy that was with John was called Philip. It says, Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. So Andrew went and told his family. Philip went and told his friend. He was concerned enough for his friend. He was excited. He was passionate about what had just happened in his own life, the experience he had with Jesus. So he went to tell his friend. His friend was a bit of a skeptic. He said, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He was really poking fun at Philip for buying into this thing of following Jesus. So he's giving him pushback. Philip said, well, come see for yourself. You know, you're not going to trust me, believe me. That's okay. Just come see for yourself. Come have your own experience and see what happens. See, when you invite someone along or you invite someone to church or you invite them into faith, you tell them about Christ, you might get some pushback. You might hear people say, you know what, I've had bad experiences in church before, so I don't want to come. Or they might say, I knew a Christian and this is what that Christian did to me, or this is what I knew about them. They were not a good person. And that's sad when you hear those things, but sometimes those things are justified. There's a lot of pain out there that churches have caused and things. But you know what you can say to them? You can say, yeah, I'm sorry you've had that experience, but come and see for yourself. Come give it a try for yourself. That's a long time ago, maybe. Maybe you have a different experience. I want you to think for a minute about who invited you. Church online. Who told you about Christ? Who invited you to Christ? Who invited you to this link to watch church online for the first time? Or if you have been a part of a church somewhere else, who invited you? Type in the first name of that person in the chat. They invited you. Those in the room, if you're here today because someone either invited you to Jesus at some point in your life or someone has invited you into this space, to WBC, I want you to do something really risky here. I want you to stand up. Stand up if you're here because someone invited you. Thank you, thank you. We got people standing up all over the room because someone invited them. And let me ask you, church online and here in the room, are you glad that someone invited you? Yeah. Yeah, especially if you came to faith because someone invited you. We're all excited about that. Have a seat. That's great. You can stop typing if you're still typing. You know, people come because they're invited. People come to faith because someone else had experienced Jesus and cared enough to invite them to experience Jesus. Engaged people invite people. We multiply hope through experiences that lead to engagement. And engagement requires quite a commitment. We understand that. I've given you over the last 2 weeks now several big things that are a big deal about engagement, accepting Christ as your Savior and being a part of a group and serving and giving and inviting. That's a big deal. We understand that. And I hear from people that, they'll start out on their experience and on their journey of faith, and they'll say, oh, I just don't feel like I'm quite ready. I don't feel like I know enough about the Bible to get involved and teach anybody else something or even lead something. Or I don't have the skills to be a greeter and smile at people and things like that. And what we understand about that is that on your faith journey, we go from having the experience to engaging, and people need equipping. We need to equip. And this is our strategy. You see it on the screen right there. We are striving to be a loving community that's seeking, serving, sharing Jesus so we can see hope multiplied. Well, there's the strategy. You have the experience. You get engaged. And then we do equipping each other around here. You know, when you think about being equipped, what does that look like? See, a lot of people will say yes to Jesus, and they think that that's where it ends. That's where your faith journey actually begins. That's the start of something. That's not the end of it. See, Jesus called those that signed up to follow him and said, yes, I'll follow you. He called them disciples. The word disciple literally means learner. Jesus said, you guys are learners. So from the time we start following Jesus, we need to be learners. We need to be committed to learning, to growing in our knowledge and understanding of faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's a book that Paul wrote to one of his proteges called Timothy, says this, work hard. Some translations say study, so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. See, we believe that none of us have arrived yet. We all need to be learners. And if you're new to the faith journey, or even if you're old to the faith journey, but you feel like maybe you haven't really grown much, I want you to think about it in terms of if you were looking for a new career, you were launching out into something different that you hadn't done before, what would you need to do? You would need to invest yourself in learning. You would need to invest yourself in some training that would upskill you, that would help you understand that career path that you were trying to break into. Right? Or if you wanted to learn a new skill, if it's a hobby or whatever it might be, you need to invest some time, attention, some resources maybe into learning that skill. For instance, if I decided I wanted to learn to play the guitar and to sing, yeah, okay, there does come a time in life where we need to understand our limitations and say, no, that's a useless endeavor and it would never happen. But you get my point. You gotta invest. And truly, maybe I can't sing and I can't play the guitar because I'm not willing to invest the thousands and thousands of hours it would take me to actually learn that skill. But think about your faith journey. Why should that be any different? If we're gonna be followers of Jesus, disciples, if we're gonna be the best we can be at following Jesus, shouldn't we be willing to invest in ourselves, in our development, so that we can do that well, right? We facilitate that a couple of different ways around here through discipleship, which could be courses that we run, or in your life group, studying the Bible together. Other times we have seminars that are on specific areas that might help you grow in the area of finances and managing those in a godly way, or parenting in a godly way, or whatever the case may be. So we offer courses for that. We also offer mentoring and coaching relationships. We'll pair people up with people that are just a little further on in their faith journey than that person is, so they can grow together and they can lead them and be building into their lives. So that helps us grow in our faith and our understanding, our knowledge. But beyond that, we believe that every person who's a follower of Jesus has gifts and abilities, and that God's intention is that those are being used in the church. Those are being used to build the kingdom. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking about the equipping. See, that's the equipping that we're talking about, is that people need to be equipped. And he says this, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. We take that very seriously as a leadership team here, that we have a responsibility to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what Paul is saying here. The ministry is to be done by everybody, but people need to be equipped for that. So we start with the assumption that every follower of Jesus has a God-given gift and ability that they need to engage in using in ministry. We start with that assumption. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about this in a very humorous and fun way, comparing the church to a physical body. And he says that the eyes can't tell the ears that they're not necessary. The nose can't tell the mouth, I don't need you. The hands can't tell the feet, I'm more important than you. He says, the body has to all work together. And he says, that's the church. So everybody has to be working together, and everybody fits together in a different way. We actually have a course that we run here called Find Your Fit, and it uses the acronym SHAPE to talk about how you might fit in to the life of the church or ministry even outside the walls of the church. The acronym is SHAPE. It's spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And all of those work together to shape you, make you who you are, and then we can help you be equipped and plug in to ministry. The goal of that is equipped people are empowered people, okay? Again, you're tracking with us. We're talking about our vision. We're talking about our mission. We're talking about our strategy. Equipped people then become empowered people. One of the primary ways that we equip people is through what's happening right now, through our Sunday services, all right? When we teach from the Word of God, we are equipping. We are hopefully helping you grow, giving you things to think about, challenging you and things. And today, I want to tie two big ideas that I've already shared with you this morning. I want to tie those together this morning. I've talked to you about the fact that engaged people invite people, right? And I've told you that equipped people are empowered people. So what I'd like to do in the next couple of minutes, next few minutes, is I want to equip and empower you to invite people. Are you excited? Yeah, yeah. Wow. I'm glad you are. That's good. Yeah, you were excited the first time around too this morning. I want to equip and empower you to invite people. For those in our physical gathering, when you came in, you were handed two cards. On the front, or on one side, it says you are invited. On the other side, it says, what are you doing on Sunday? This is part of your equipping. I'm giving you a tool, putting a tool in your hand. I actually saw one person come in, and one of the hosts was gave them two cards, and this person said, I only need one. It's like, no, you need two. All right? Now you know why you need two. I don't want you to just use one of these. I want you to use these in two different ways. One, you can give them to a friend. Now, a friend is someone who knows you, likes you, and trusts you, okay? Does anybody have anybody in their life that's not here that's like that? They know you, they like you, they trust you. All right, a few of you do, okay. I want you to identify that person or those people, write their names down, put it in your phone so you don't forget. And just in the natural course of your relationship with those people who know you, like you, trust you, okay, that's important, invite them. Say, hey, what are you doing on Sunday? Love to see you. Love to have you come along to this thing that I do. It's a great experience that I want to share with you. Maybe offer to hang out afterwards for a coffee or take them out for lunch or something like that. This next one's going to stretch you a little bit more, but it'll be so much fun if you give it a try. When you're out and about in the shops, at school, at work, in the cafes, wherever you're at, I want you to listen for opportunities to multiply hope. What do I mean? I want you to listen for people who are making hopeless comments. I want you to listen for people who are in despair. I want you to listen for people who are struggling, okay? Maybe you ask your barista how he or she is doing, and it's clear they're not doing well. Maybe it's a mom wrestling with a toddler going through the shops and really struggling and about to lose it, and you know what that looks like. I want you to maybe go up to a stranger that is clearly struggling with life. Maybe they're talking about COVID and how it's wrecked their businesses or they're out of a job or whatever it is. Why don't you go up to a stranger and say, wow, that must be really tough. I've experienced some things in my life that are tough as well. Kind of leaves me hopeless sometimes. But you know, I want to tell you, there's a place that I go that I actually find some hope and encouragement when I'm feeling like that. What are you doing on Sunday? And hand that to them. And you're sitting there thinking right now, no, that's not going to happen. And you people online, by the way, you don't get to escape this. It's actually too easy for you. All you have to do is share the link, right? So share the link in your newsfeed right now on your social medias. But also, I want you to take another step. Instead of just sharing it publicly, that's easy. I want you to identify people who know you, like you, and trust you. And I want you to send it in a private message to them and say, hey, I want you to come with me. I want you to watch with me. Maybe invite them over for a watch party at your house. I don't know how you want to do it using the online format. But for those of you that, as you're out in the cafes and everything, and you're thinking, no, I'm not going to go up to a stranger and do that, because what would people think? Maybe they'll think I'm weird, right? Anybody feel that way? You can be honest. I want you to think about that if people think you're weird. We, going back about your own faith, we believe that there's a God in heaven who sent his only son, where did he come from? Jesus, to the earth. And that Jesus, the way he got to the earth is he was born to a virgin, okay? And then this dude lived on this earth, never did anything wrong, for over 30 years. And because he never did anything wrong, a group of people crucified him on a cross. He died, he was buried, and then get this, he literally rose from the dead. Anybody in this room or online believe that? We believe something pretty weird, right? Friends, I want to challenge you to go all in on weird, okay? If you think people will think I'm weird if I walk up to them and give them this card and invite them along to church, they'll think I'm weird, cool. Because in this world, this chaos and full of hopelessness, guess what? We need to be weird. We have a hope that is beyond this life. We have a hope that is eternal. We have a hope because of Jesus. And friends, because we've experienced that, can I dare say there's something wrong with you and me? I'm preaching to myself here. If there's not something inside us that says, I need to share that hope. There's something broken in us if we don't have that compassion for other people and that driving desire that says, yes, I've got Jesus in my life and other people need this too. I need to multiply hope. So my challenge to you this week is to go invite someone. And I want to extend that right now to the point where I want you to consider who that's going to be. Someone who knows you, trusts you, likes you. You can start there. And then someone else, stranger in the shops that you know is pretty hopeless right now. Consider, start with the one that knows you, likes you, trusts you. Who is that? Put that name in your phone or write it down so you don't forget it. I want to ask you, will you commit today to inviting that person at least next week? In the online environment or the physical environment, same content, they're still going to hear the truth of the gospel. Somebody invited you, and that's why you're here today, and you're glad about that. Who are you going to invite? Who are you going to bring to faith because of the experience that you've had? Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for giving us hope in Jesus. And Lord, it seems so simple. We see Andrew and we see Philip meeting Jesus and then immediately going and telling other people. We see the woman at the well having that experience with Jesus and going and telling everyone. And Lord, it was easy for them. Lord, you know that for most of us, it's way harder than it should be. Lord, we let our pride get in the way, our fear, our anxiety, our uncertainties even. Maybe it's even our doubts and unbelief at times. Lord, I pray that you would ignite a passion in us for people that don't yet know you, that would cause us to want to share our experience with them so they can find hope in Jesus, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.